T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, let's begin on the Organic Gardener by saying if you're the 10th caller, we're going to give you an early holiday gift, a $25 gift certificate from Sorgals. 10th caller wins it at 412-922-1020. He's got a long list of guests coming up today, including one of our favorites, Mrs. Know-It-All. So let's get right to the host of the Organic Gardener, Doug Oster. Doug?
Good morning. Good morning. In just a minute, we'll be talking to a couple of my friends that wrote a really cool book called The Urban Garden, 101 Ways to Grow Food and Beauty in the City. But I have a few announcements before we get to them. Today, bring the kids, the pets, the crazy uncles, everybody to Han Nursery. The Gardening Santa will be back. He's there from 1 to 4 p.m. today. It's fun, it's free, and there's still social distancing as Santa will be up on his sleigh. And the best thing about it, besides being free, is you can take all the pictures you would like. And Santa loves pets and doing family shots. And as I said, Santa's up in that sleigh, so you don't have to worry about anything. We have so much fun. Now, last week, I went out to this thing called Dazzling Nights at the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden, and I'm telling you, man, this thing is cool. I had never seen anything like it in my life. I made a video. I put it up on DougOster.com. You can see it in my my Facebook page also. Oh, wait, no, it's not up on Facebook yet. Well, just look at DougOster.com and take a look at it. But, man, it's just wild stuff. You know, you hike outside like maybe 3/4 of a mile total. And, you know, there's no steep hills or anything. But just these, like, fog and moving lights and all sorts of crazy stuff. And lasers where you look up in the trees and it looks like there's like lightning bugs up there. Oh, it's just really cool. Something to take a look at. Go to also PittsburghBotanicGarden.org if you want some more information, or I have all the information at DougOster.com. So hope you're gardening. We believe it or not, can still sneak some stuff in. I still have lots of bulbs to plant. I guess I'm done with vegetables and that sort of thing, but I'm still could plant garlic and some bulbs. And are we set, Rob? Ready for our guests? Well, Kathy Jentz and Terry Spite are teamed up to write this amazing book called The Urban Garden, 101 Ways to Grow Food and Beauty in the City. Good morning, Kathy and Terry. Thank you for getting up so early to talk about the book.
Good morning.
How are we doing?
I am awake, Doug.
It ain't easy, is it?
No, it is not, but I was very much relating to you on the bulb aspect, and I was thinking, huh, I still have 100 tulips sitting outside waiting to go in the soil.
What's the holdup? I can tell you what it is for me. I'm just a procrastinator. I'll see that weather forecast, and then I'll have to do it.
Yeah, I would say ditto on the procrastination. just doing so many other things that bulbs have drop to the bottom of the list, but they're going to get to the top of the list this week.
So talk about The Urban Garden. How did the book come about?
Sure. This is Kathy. I'll ask Terry to probably weigh in a second. But we were approached by the book publisher, Quarto Publishing. It's Cool Springs Press, with the idea of teaming together since we had know each other and we both live on one side of the Washington, D.C. Beltway from each other. And it was to have a book about urban gardening, but also small space inspiration. So even though the overarching title is, you know, on urban or city living, it really applies to anybody with a small space.
So what are some of the first things that you thought about when you're putting the book together for small spaces?
I think the biggest concern is that a lot of people think they don't have space to garden at all. So for me, I wanted to dispel some of those myths and say, you know, here are some practical ways that you can still garden, still grow beautiful things, still grow food for you or your family, and, you know, not have to do a ton of backbreaking work.
So talk maybe a little bit about rooftop gardens and how to do that in an easy way.
Sure. One of the things that Terry and I recommend in the book is grow bags. So there are lots of different ones that you can purchase. Lots of different companies make them. And they're kind of like that thick fabric, Doug. I think you've probably seen them.
Oh, yeah.
Similar to, you know, similar to your grocery tote bag, but a bit thicker. So you can... and usually they'll have a little slit around the bottom or the sides for drainage. But what makes them so great is that you can fill them with soil, plant them up, and they're so much lighter for rooftop gardening. And you could use them on your patio. You can use them on a balcony. But, you know, of course, most of the weight comes from soil getting saturated. That's the big concern for rooftop gardening, and that you want to at least start off knowing that you have structural integrity enough to hold, you know, growing something that's going to be a lot of weight with soil and water.
And so when you're thinking about these small spaces as far as design wise, talk a little bit about that. You know, growing up, is that part of it? You know, trying to grow vertically?
Oh, definitely. So we have lots of different vertical solutions in the book. And, you know, one of my favorite is to let the plant do the work and just grow vines, right? So, that's, you know, no build right there. You just have to put something that they can climb up. So that could be a trellis, a pole, a structure that's maybe already there, like a fence. And then you just place the plant against it. And, you know, some vines need a little guidance, might need, you know, to be leaned towards it or to be tied on initially, but then usually they'll take off for you. So that's my favorite vertical solution is vines.
So what kind of vines? Let's talk about vines for flowers. What are some of your favorites?
Definitely clematis. Mm-hmm. That would be top of my list just because, I mean, come on, beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there's a variety that your listeners can Google and look at some photos. It's called Taiga. Have you tried that one out, Doug?
No. Tell me about it.
So it's T-A-I-G-A, Taiga, not like saying tiger without the R. So that one is purple outside and green inside, and it's very filled in. Like it's like more like a rosette than a lot of your open, you know, big clematis where you just have like huge petals, but you see all the stamens.
Wow.
So that taiga, it's stunning. It's just gorgeous. And well, does very well and pretty cold hardy. So that's a great thing about it.
How cold hardy?
I think zone 5. But
no, we're fine. We're fine. Five or six. Yep. We're good. Well, that's pretty cool.
I'm going to double check that. And also, a lot of clematis these days are being bred to be container grown. So that's another reason why I recommend that vine, because there are more and more small size, or they're calling them patio clematis. So you could grow them in a container on a small trellis and have more, you know, rather than a big rangy clematis that you have to prune back every year.
We are talking to Kathy Gents. She is one of the authors of The Urban Garden, 101 Ways to Grow Food and Beauty in the City. And when we come back, I think we're going to start talking a little bit more about containers, Kathy, and we'll see if we can get Terry, too. We're having a little trouble getting through to Terry.
So. All right. Mark your calendars for Larry and Marty's Hometown Heroes event on December 13th at Rivers Casino, presented by Goodrich and Geist. Get the good guys. This year's event features keynote speaker Susan Copeland, Lifetime Achievement Awardees Bob and Marlene Tutti, and our outstanding honorees brought to you by McGuire Memorial and Levin Furniture. Tickets available now at kdkradio.com. All right, we are going to get to your gardening questions coming up in our third segment. So if you want to get in early and get a question to Doug, I highly suggest you start dialing the number now, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020, and right back to Doug for more of The Organic Gardener on KDKA.
Joined again by my friend Kathy Jentz. She's one of the authors of The Urban Garden, 101 Ways to Grow Food and Beauty in the City. Good morning again, Kathy. Let's talk containers. What's your number one hint for growing great stuff in containers?
My number one hint, Doug, is to use a container mix for your soil. So it'll either say potting mix or container mix. It might not even say soil on the label, shockingly. That really light, beautiful mix, because containers can get so dense, right, and heavy, and you want those roots to be able to grow down and grow healthy.
Oh, that's a great idea. Love it. When you think in these small spaces, let's talk veggies. Any ideas for growing vegetables in a small space?
Sure. So we talked about some of the small-sized clematis vines. There's also a lot of breeding going on for small-sized vegetables. So sometimes it'll say patio-sized or container-sized or just miniature or dwarf on the label when you're looking at seed packs. So check out some of those, like a small eggplant that can be container-grown, smaller-sized melons. Sometimes it'll say personal or pocket-sized, which always, you know, cracks me up. Picturing somebody walking around with their cantaloupe in their pocket for lunch. But yeah, so definitely look for some of those, you know, less rangy vine growing plants are a good choice for that. And also, you know, you want as much sun as possible for your edibles. And if you have a choice, Doug, if you're moving into an apartment and you can say, please put me on the south side, that's probably your best bet, is if you can get a, you know, apartment balcony, walk out, anything that faces south, you're ahead of the game right there.
So even for gardeners, when you're looking for real estate, it's location, location, location.
Oh, especially for gardeners, Doug, right?
And let's talk pollinators. You know, that's become a very important subject for gardeners, but there's no reason to, you know, just because you have a small space, not to plant for pollinators, right?
Oh, yeah. So in the book, we talk about wildlife gardening, even in the city, and especially in the city, right? So we want to be able to support our pollinators to make sure that they can get all the sustenance they need. So definitely work in some of your native wildflowers into your containers if you can. Even a little patch, say, of black-eyed Susan can go a long way. And having pollinators adjacent to your edibles, that's a bonus for your edible garden as well.
And how about pets? You know, when we think of that small space, we've got our dogs and cats and chickens even. Something we need to think about, designing that pet-friendly urban garden.
Yes. And I think the pandemic really showed us how much we need that outside space. And that's even true for our pets, that, you know, you can take them out for their daily walk or constitutional or in their little chicken run, but really some nice sunny green space for them is a must. So we do have a chapter in the book about pet gardening in the city.
All right, Kathy, exciting news. We finally got Terry on the line, the co-author of The Urban Garden, 100 Ways to Grow Food and Beauty in the City. And Terry and I have been friends for a long time. Good morning. And I'm sorry we had so much trouble getting hooked up here, Terry.
Maybe it's because of the cold. How are you doing, Doug?
I'm doing great. We've talked to Kathy about the book, The Urban Garden. Tell me a little bit about your inspiration for writing this.
Well, because people are gardening again, and we've got new gardeners in the highest numbers ever. and they need to have some type of inspiration on what to do so they don't feel defeated coming out the gate.
Oh, that's great. If you had one thing out of this book that you want people to really get out of it, what would it be?
That gardening is easy, that you can be unique in your own space. And even if you want privacy, because in the urban garden, we're, you know, pretty close together, you can do it, whether it's using structures, plant material, walls, it can be done.
Let's talk a little bit about that, about privacy in that garden, right? What you say, you know, we're right next door to each other. How about a couple ideas for having that private garden?
Well, one of my favorites is using curtains. I've saw it in Buffalo, and I've seen it now in my own neighborhood where the houses are close together, and you want to sit on your front porch, but you want to have some type of screening. Use curtains. Use a piece of wonderful fabric. Put it on a rod. Put it on some hooks. Let it hang. The breeze will flow through it, and you still have privacy. Plus, it adds a colorful backdrop on either side of your front porch. The other thing probably would be the structures. I love hardscaping in the garden. When you have an arbor, grow something on it that's fragrant. Grow something on it that might be evergreen. Whatever you do, just grow something on it. Give yourself a living screen. And it's beautiful.
Terry, tell me how gardening became your thing and writing about gardening.
Gardening became my thing because of my parents, avid outdoors people. My dad had created a rose garden for my mom. My mom makes sure we planted annuals every spring in this little strip behind the house in D.C. And it just stuck with me. And writing about gardening, I went through a point in my life where I really wanted to share the joy that I found in gardening. And that's when I started writing. I was like 40 years old, and I'm not stopping anytime soon.
The book is called The Urban Garden, 101 Ways to Grow Food and Beauty in the City. What's the best way, guys, for people to get a copy of this book?
Well, let's see. Amazon still has it, but ask for it at your local small bookstore. Independent bookstores are awesome. Ask for it.
And Kathy, when you were putting this book together with Terry, what did you hope that people get out of it, of reading the book?
I was hoping that they would be inspired to take on new growing techniques and to try something out that they might not have before. And, of course, for beginners to get started. You know, we wanted to have some beautiful photos, some gorgeous ideas, and relatable ideas, not like pie in the sky. You're going to need $1 million starting budget, of course.
Well, Kathy and Terry, thanks for getting up so early. Terry, I wish we had more time with you. I will see you both, I hope, in Baltimore at our annual Mance convention, all about gardening. And thanks again for getting up so early. And the book is called The Urban Garden, 101 Ways to Grow Food and Beauty in the City. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now it's time for you to go to work and actually use your knowledge with the listeners and see if you can answer some of these questions on this Sunday morning, the first Sunday edition in the month of December for Doug. So if you have a question, some indoor gardening, maybe thinking of taking care of that Christmas cactus already or that poinsettia for the holiday season, he is your guy. That number to dial is 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. We've got our second giveaway to be given away in just about 10 minutes from Janoski's, in which they are getting ready for another day of their Christmas open house coming up shortly at the farm in Clinton. So lots to do before we are done today at 1 o'clock. Just underway, Rob Pratt, your Pratt Pack for a Sunday. So what you need to do is, if you have a gardening question, this is your time right now to phone in at 866-391-1020. Also still to come, Denise Schreiber, Mrs. Know-It-All, is going to be here as well. And Rob Taylor has a look at that news coming up in just a couple of moments at the bottom of the hour. The Organic Gardener with Doug Oster continues on KDKA 100.1 FM AM 1020 in just a couple of minutes. So here is the deal. If you have a question for Doug, call us right now. 866-391-1020. Only going to have one segment with your calls because Mrs. Know-It-All is waiting in the wings. But also, if you're the 10th caller, you'll win a $25 gift certificate to Janoski's in Clinton, where they're getting ready for day two of their Christmas open house that starts at 10 a.m. this morning. Always a great time to be had by one and all. So if you're looking for something a little different and exciting to do, get out to the farm, meet Santa, and have a good time. But the 10th caller wins that $25 gift certificate, 412-922-1020. Here is Della up first for Doug Oster on KDKA. Hi, Della.
Hi, good morning. Listen, I was wondering if it's too late to repot my hibiscus. I brought it in. What it is it's crooked. It's like drooping to the side. Not drooping, but you know, it's shifted in the pot.
It's the leaning tower of hibiscus.
It is the leaning tower of hibiscus, and it's been blooming since I brought it in. And it looks pretty good. So I didn't want to screw anything up. And I thought, is this okay to, do I just leave it? Do I put something in there to kind of straighten it up?
Yeah, if it was me and it was still blooming, I would want to let it go through that bloom stage because it's not going to bloom forever. As the light diminishes by bringing it in, uh-huh. it's going to probably drop some leaves and kind of look a little tired at first. And that's when I would do my repotting on it. How far is it leaning? Is it like driving you nuts?
Yes, it annoys me to look at it.
All right. even though it's blooming, you could kind of probably just kind of gently pull it out of its container and just kind of shift it so that it's going straight up and maybe add a little bit of planting mix around the edges. Give it some water if it's dry and then mm-hmm. I think you'll be fine. You know, it's a pretty tough plant, and the only thing we don't want to do is we don't want to negatively affect those blooms because, you know, you got to enjoy those flowers.
Oh, they're beautiful. It amazes me to just, you know, see them blooming still, and so I'm really enjoying it. Also, I see there's a couple leaves on there that are kind of spotted, and I think it came in that, I think I brought it in that way, and I didn't take anything off. I guess it's not a good time, or should I ever give it a little haircut, like take those off or trim
yeah,
it back?
You got any, if you have any foliage that's starting to, you know, change color or dry mm-hmm. up or that sort of thing, yeah, you can just pick that off, no problem. Like I said, it's probably going to start dropping leaves on its own here just because of the change of light from indoors to outdoors.
Oh, okay.
Or from outdoors to indoors. So enjoy those flowers. You can
Thank you.
Manually straighten that up just by pulling it out of the pot. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
So can indoor planting, you know, especially the little seedlings, can that kind of satisfy a gardener's desire this time of year?
Well, definitely. I always tell people in winter, microgreens are a great idea, and it's so easy. All microgreens means is just an extra packet of seeds, and things like radishes, sunflowers, beans, peas, kale, cabbage, all that stuff. That's just the beginning of it. But all you're doing is you're putting in some seeds into some moist soil, covering it with some clear plastic. You're just letting them sprout and grow for maybe a week tops. I like radishes are the easiest one to start with. And you could eat the whole thing from top to bottom. It's easy to do. It's fresh, wonderful flavor, and it's also a great project for kids and grandkids because it's so easy. And like that's why I like radishes for kids because they sprout so quick. And you know, in a couple days, you've got something that people can eat. And so microgreens, you know, all winter long. We'll be talking about microgreens probably all winter long just because they are just so easy to grow, and you start experimenting with these different varieties of things. Well, herbs are another great one. Like if you had an extra packet of like basil seeds or something, and you're only picking them when they're before they get their true leaves. They're just so you don't need any special lights or anything. It'd just be on the windowsill. They sprout, you cut them off or you pull them and you rinse them off and you throw them in a salad or into a recipe, and it's just absolutely wonderful. Now, just a reminder that today the Gardening Santa will be at Hahn Nursery. Bring kids, pets, crazy Uncle Joe, everybody. It's free. You get your pictures taken. We have a lot of fun. It's beautiful. Santa's up on this really nice Slay. I couldn't come up with the word slay, Rob.
Do you realize what's just happened here? A bunch of nieces and nephews. If somebody by the way is listening to your show happens to be an uncle and they get a call, say, Uncle Joe, what are you doing later today? You want to go with us out
to Santa? Go to see Santa and get a tree? They won't say crazy Uncle Joe. They'll just say Uncle Joe.
Uncle Joe.
From 1 to 4 at Han Nursery, Santa's going to be there. And pets have become a big deal. It's hard for people to get a shot of their pet with Santa, but Santa loves dogs and cats and birds and fish, whatever you want to bring today, 1 to 4 at Han Nursery. And just a reminder also, I've got a second trip to Tuscany coming up next October. The first trip is sold out. My travel company wants to keep me in Italy, and then you fly to me. The first group will fly together, and then we'll fly back together, the second group. But it's my finally being able to put together this off-the-beaten-path Italy. We will see some bigger cities. We'll see Florence and Pisa. I've never seen the Leaning Tower of Pisa. We talked about the Leaning Tower of Hibiscus, but I think the Leaning Tower of Pisa might be a little bit more classic.
That's pretty cool.
And then lots of other hill towns and learning how to cook Italian. All that information is at DougOster.com, and I'd love for you to come along. We're going to have a lot of fun. Italy, there's no place like it. And in case you're coming in to this off-the-beaten-path Tuscany trip, but you've never been to Italy and you want to see Rome, you can get an optional 3-day extension to go down and see Rome first. So I'd love to see you there. And then also, I just posted this video of this thing called Dazzling Nights at the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden. I'm telling you, Rob, it's like nothing you've ever seen. It's so creative. There's music playing. There's moving lights. There's lasers. There's this beautiful tunnel to go through. The video is like 2 minutes long. Check it out. And I use the music from Dazzling Nights. And if you've never been out to the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden, not near Settlers Cabin Park, this is a chance to get out there, see where it is. And then when you get to the season, they got a bunch of great gardens. It's been a long time coming, and it's a cool place. And like again, this Dazzling Nights is like something you've never seen before. This is also a great time to take a look out in the garden. You've got some time. And it's funny, Kathy and I were talking about our hundreds of bulbs yet to plant. She has 100 tulips to plant, and I have hundreds of daffodils yet to plant. But this is the time that you have some just downtime to look around at the bones of the garden, to plan. One of the parts of gardening that I love is the planning. Soon, next month, maybe even this month, we'll start to get some seed catalogs coming in, and all the new introductions will be in there. That Mance thing that I talked about with Kathy, about Ann Terry, about going to Baltimore, that is this annual trade show that I go to every January, and all the new stuff is introduced. It's fun. And as I said, go out, look around the garden, look at the bones of the garden, and just do a little bit of planning.
All right, let's say hi to Cindy. We got a couple minutes before the break. Cindy, you're on KDKA. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. That was fast. Hey, I had a problem. I planted morning glory, and now I'm so sorry I did. It spread everywhere where I didn't want it to, and every year I think I've conquered it, and I didn't. What is the secret?
Well, you can never let it go to seed. If you can't stand morning glories and they've taken over, you have to first start in the spring, is recognize what they look like, actually early summer. Recognize what they look like when they come up. Remove as many as you can at that point, and then, you want to see the flowers if it does come up. And then as soon as it's done flowering, don't let it go to seed.
Well, it's funny because that's my issue. I don't see it flowering that much. It really doesn't. But I guess the vines are underneath, and it's trailing under the soil. I'm not sure, but I don't have a lot of flowers. So I'd hurry up and pluck them, but it's like they just keep coming everywhere. But
so morning glories actually bloom best in kind of average or below average soil. When the soil's real good, they'll grow lots of green, but not as many flowers. Just keep after it, and whenever you see it, remove it, and you'll win the battle.
All right, coming up, Mrs. Know-It-All, after the news with Rob Taylor at 8, it's holiday party appetizers on the Coons Cooking Hour, all still to come today on KDKA. Good morning. You know, a lot of snooze alarms today, so we're trying to track down Mrs. Know-It-All, too. You're really putting me to work this hour, but hopefully we'll get her on the air before we do.
Mrs. Know-It-All, if you're listening, I sent you a text.
But you are going to be with that other guy today by the name of Santa, right?
Oh, yeah. Santa's going to be down at Han Nursery today from 1 to 4 p.m. Bring your pets, bring
How
your
are these
kids.
Pets with you? Do they, like, take them out of their, like,
little carrying
cases?
I posted a picture
cases?
On Facebook this morning where sometimes they're like a little kid. They're scared of Santa sometimes.
Well, you know what it is. It's the garlic because they have that sense of smell about them.
That's why they have me up on the on the sleigh, yeah, right. So that they – I mean, they have Santa up on the sleigh.
You know what, though? I've really learned to grow to love garlic. Not to mean that I don't love you, but I actually love the whole idea of garlic on food. Okay, she's ready to go.
All right, time for Denise Schreiber. That's Mrs. Know-It-All, our horticulturist. We're talking all about live Christmas trees. First question we have, Denise, is a live tree okay for cats and other pets?
Yeah, a live tree is fine. You know, I've had live trees. I have artificial trees now because my trees have been up for 2 weeks. You know, maybe a little kitten, but my cats look at it. They don't bother the ornaments. Our friend Sandy has two cats. They don't bother her tree. She always has a live tree. So I think it's more they go after the water that's in the pan for live trees. So you always want to keep that protected, you know, cover it up with, you know, some plastic or whatever you have.
So when you're thinking types of trees, what comes to mind for you?
Okay. So I know one of the most popular ones you see at these tree stands are, blue spruce. Sorry.
Went out of the brain there, huh? It went out of the brain. Now, I'm not the only one that can't come up with simple names and topics.
We were having phone issues again with me, too.
Yeah.
Not only Terry, me, too. And, you know, while it's really pretty and it's blue and the branches are nice and stiff, you know, if you go to hang your ornaments in there, you're going to come away bloody, pretty much. You know, Douglas fir are nice. You don't see them too often, and they're more open, and the branches are a little bouncy is the best way to put it. There's white pine, which is the needles are soft. It's beautiful. They're usually sheared, so they're tight. As long as you're not hanging a lot of heavy ornaments on them, they're fine. They have that fragrance that you want, you know, for Christmas. Michael, mm-hmm. It smells like a Christmas tree. But one of the best trees to have is actually a Fraser fir because the branches are very upright. They're stiff enough. You're not going to, you know, come away bleeding from decorating your tree. And they hold their needles a lot longer. So when you go to the tree farm and you get it home, you do what my Aunt Margie did. She used to put it out on the back porch. She would take her hose it off so you got rid of any dirt, any little friends that might be hiding in there, like, you know, spiders, centipedes, and bring
squirrels.
It in. And that really, you know, squirrels, yeah, as long as it's not a raccoon or something bigger like that. And then make a fresh cut on your tree and then put it in your solution. You can buy those solutions. I don't recommend using, what is it, the aspirin and bleach and water.
Mm-hmm.
Skip that. You know, just do that. And, you know, the tree should last, you know, past Christmas. You know, I know people take the tree down the next day and it's out the door. But some people like to get it through Orthodox Christmas as well. So I would go with the Fraser fir as the tree to have in the house. And I have a saying I came across the other day. It doesn't matter how tall your tree is. Children always think it's a 30-foot tree, which is good. No, it's about Christmas is for kids. You know, if you think about it, you know, the joy that they see the next morning with the tree and the presents. And so, you know, things are always bigger when we're little kids. But I thought that was a really good quote.
That is a great one. Thank you, Mrs. Know-It-All, as always. I'm answering questions after the show at DougOster.com. You can learn more about my Off the Beaten Path Tuscany trip and come out and see Santa today at Hahn Nursery from 1 to 4. Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
So what will Santa be snacking on later today out there?
Oh, they'll have hot chocolate and
some cookies.
Cookies, peppermint sticks, that sort of thing, you know.
Don't you dare miss it. Always a good time to be had by one and all when Santa is out enjoying the holiday season. All right, Doug, great job. Talk to you next week. In the meantime, stay tuned. We've got the Dentisi family lined up for some holiday party appetizers on the Coons Cooking Hour after Rob Taylor checks that news at 8. Rob Pratt Sunday, KDKA Radio. Good morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.